That's page 1457 of your green Bibles. And remember, Jen was talking last week about that first six, chapter 6, verse 1, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. And so let's go on to verse 5 when it says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Good morning, everyone. We all learn by example, don't we? We learn what things are and what they mean by the example of the people around us. A father took his son to a family funeral, and when he got home, Mum asked the boy what had happened, and he said, well, it wasn't a great football game. And she said, football game? He said, yeah. So the commentator came on, he had his suit and the microphone, and he did a lot of talking. He talked about how Uncle Terry had had a great game, and then when we went to the field, and then they were putting Uncle Terry into the ground, and the commentator was saying, and we commit him unto the Father and unto the Son and into the hole he goes. And then everybody said, amen, and then we went for a drink. It wasn't a great game. We all learn by example. The example of the people around us shows us what the things that we're doing mean. And unfortunately, as you saw on the video, we learn how to pray by the example of the people around us. And the problem with that is that public righteousness, the things that we do, the acts of righteousness we do so that we're seen by other people, are the way that we build a whole structure of righteousness that is upside down and all wrong. In chapter 6, Jesus is talking about acts of righteousness. And as Rhonda said, he says, be careful not to do them before men to be seen by them. And in verse 2 and verse 5 and verse 16, Jesus says, when you do something righteous, do not do it like these guys, but instead do this other thing. When you do something good, don't do it that way, do it this way. And you might have noticed in our reading, we've got a bonus round. In verse 7, when you pray, comes up in verse 6, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. When you pray, go into your room. But then in verse 7, when you pray, don't keep on babbling. So there are two different warnings in this passage. And the first warning is pretty simple. Pray to God. Pray to God. Jesus said in verse 5, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. Don't pray to anyone else. When you pray, you want to meet with God. But who sees the hypocrites when they're praying up a storm? Other people see them. In fact, the whole performance is for the sake of the other people. And Jesus says these words that should warn you, they've got their reward in full. The only people who see them are other people, not God. The diocese has an office in the city. Sometimes I have to go in there for things. And, you know, it's a lovely office. It's, you know, you go up in the lift and there's key card access to all of the doors, even the toilet. And in order to get in, you've got to go to the nice office lady. There are some office ladies in this congregation. And you know what you've got to say to the office lady? Because she's going to ask you, who is your appointment with? Who do you want to see? That's sort of important, isn't it? You kind of need to know who your appointment is going to be with. The key question when you're praying is, who do you want to see? Who do you want to be seen by? Who is this that you're trying to meet with? Did you see the stress on seeing in this passage? The hypocrites love to be seen by men, in verse 5. But in verse 6, our Father is unseen. And so you can pray to him when you've gone into a room in an empty house and closed the door. God is unseen and he sees what's done in secret. It's all about who sees and who you're being seen by. And so Jesus says, when you pray, who sees you? Or another way to ask that is, who do you think you're fooling? Prayer is not a public performance for the benefit of those watching you. Prayer is you talking to God. That's why Jesus says to pray on your own. If Jesus says that prayer is an inside, at home sort of thing, well then the big question is, who are you at home? Who are you inside when you're on your own? That's the you that should be praying. That's the you who needs to meet with God. Be yourself when you pray and be honest when you pray. Be honest with God about who you are and how you talk and what you're feeling. Because prayer isn't a public performance, it's you talking to God because you want to have a relationship with him. Now the tricky thing is that we all learn to pray with other people. We think prayer is that special thing that we do, maybe in that special tone of voice. Maybe we say, we speaketh the truth in loveth. Or maybe we speak hallelujah to the name of Jesus. However we've learnt to pray from the people around us, we think, well, I've got to do it just right. See, the trouble is sometimes we learn from the prayers in church. Now, the prayers in church are a special kind of prayer because when Catherine was praying for us, with us, she's inviting us to join her and her voice is going up and all of our prayers are going to God, and so she has to pray in a certain way so that we can join in. But Jesus says it's not a performance. The key thing still is us talking to God. Now, you talk to lots of people every day. Talk to God. You can do it. Now, when you pray to God as the one who listens. This is the second warning. Jesus says, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Now, I have a new phone. I like my new phone, but at the moment I can't get some of my emails on my phone because I haven't set up my email app. Now, the reason I haven't done that is I can't remember the password. There is a password recovery process. I will go through the process. It'll be fine. But the other option, of course, is that I just try to remember some of my old passwords. I just keep remembering passwords and keep trying them because one of them worked. In the past. In fact, all of them have worked in the past at some stage. Maybe one of them that I can remember is going to be the right one. And that's how pagans prayed. That's how the people who weren't Jews around at Jesus' time prayed to their gods. They heard, oh, well, that prayer worked. Oh, talking to that God in this way worked. Oh, okay, well, I'll roll out all the names I possibly can for this God, and I'll hope that one of them catches his attention. They think they'll be heard because of their many words. That's how it worked. They just wanted to find the password that would get them into the system so they would then be trusted and could, you know, send and receive messages. It's like knowing a kid's middle name. My mum could say Alan Ralph Wood, and that was a word of power. I had to stop. The pagans would just, I'm just going to get the right name. I just need to get the magic word. I just need to use the password. But Jesus says God is the Father who knows. He knows what you need. He knows who you are. You don't have to authenticate yourself to God. And here's a big part of the good news of Jesus, that God is your Father who loves you. God is your Father who loves you, and he's already paying attention to you. And he knows what you need before you even ask him. Now, prayer is talking to God. But God is in heaven, and so we think he's far away. There was that Bette Midler song. God is watching us from where? From a distance. God's watching us from far away. I was talking to a man yesterday who had gone to church all of his childhood, and he said to me, I don't think I'm important enough for God to know me personally. I don't think I'm important enough. In Bryce Courtney's novel, The Power of One, which they turned into a movie, the little boy, PK, meets an old German man who he calls Doc, and Doc says to him, oh, it's better just to get on with the business of living and minding your own business, and maybe if God likes the way you do things, he may just let you flower like a cactus. Doc loves cacti. May just let you flower for a day or a night, but don't go pestering and begging and telling him all your stupid little sins. That way you will spoil his day. Absolutely. Jesus says God is well aware of what Doc calls the way you do things. Who you are was God's idea. What you need is already right there in God's mind. It's good to pray. It's not going to spoil God's day. He is intensely interested in who you are and what you are doing and what you need. And that affects the personal relationship that you have with God that you're going to work out in the way that you talk to him. If you think you desperately need to try and get the right password and you're going to treat him like Yahoo Mail, that won't work. Because God is listening when you talk to him, because he loves you, because he's your Father who knows what you need. And so Jesus says that prayer is one of those acts of righteousness that you ought to be doing. Talk to God. So don't hold back because you don't know the right words or you don't have the right tone of voice. Don't sit with your heart full and think, oh, now Catherine prayed a really good prayer on Sunday. What were those words again? If only I could get that right. Don't do that. Be yourself as you are at home. Because with God you are always at home with him. He is your Father. He's listening. He knows. Just talk. Now, the words that follow are not the magic words. Okay, we've covered. There are no magic words. But Jesus says this is how you should pray because he shows his disciples a model prayer. This is the sort of prayer that you should pray. They're the right way to talk to God. And I love the way that Jesus reveals God in verse 8. And then he explains how we're supposed to pray to a God like that. In verse 9 and following, he says, your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I want to break that into two halves and use them both to talk about the Lord's Prayer. So, first thing is that God is our Father. He's our Father in heaven. Look at those three things that Jesus prays. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We all pray those words. Some of us pray them every day, some of us pray them every week. And I think we get them all jumbled up. This is the way that Matthew wrote it. He addresses God. Jesus addresses God as our Father in heaven. And then there are three things that are all parallel. He sets out the words all the same order in each part of the sentence. May your name be hallowed. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. And because they're all nicely paralleled, I think all of them are addressed to God. All of them go together, and all of them are supposed to happen on earth as it is in heaven. And in Greek, the last word of the sentence is your. May your name be hallowed. May your kingdom come. May your will be done. May all of these things happen for you, God, on earth as it is in heaven. Can you see what Jesus is doing? Jesus is praying to God as the Father in heaven. He is central. He is basic. He's fundamental. All of our existence is founded on his will and power. The earth revolves around him. The ancients who thought that the sun went round the earth, they still thought that the sun and the sky and everything that spun around the earth was all still contained in the dwelling place of God. They talked about earth and heaven and the heaven of heavens, that God is far beyond the universe that we see. Now we know, and they knew, that the world that God has made is really, really, really big, way beyond human scale. But even so, it's really, really, really small compared to God. He is the Father in heaven, and the whole universe is pointing up to his glory. So Jesus prays, may your name be hallowed, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. He wants God's will to come on earth. I was in Avoca Beach this week and watching some surfers. And you know, it was funny, all the surfers were surfing in the same direction. Now sure, some of them broke left and some of them broke right. Yeah, that's your left and right, good. Some of them sort of paddled towards the wave and turned and caught the wave back in. Some of them were hanging out the back and then would paddle in on the swell and then surf in. One paddle boarder was coming from over near the rock pool and heading across and then surfing in, but everyone surfed towards the beach. Everyone surfed in the same direction. It's as if there was some mysterious force pushing them towards the beach when they were surfing. No one surfed in the opposite direction. I can't explain it. Maybe you could explain surfing to me afterwards. But do you know, it's funny. People will sometimes say, well, Christians, they all act like this. They're so boring. They won't let me go, blah, 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 blah. Now, sometimes that's because, well, everybody loves a crowd and we all learn by example. And actually, that's a matter of freedom. And you don't have to act like that as a Christian. But sometimes the reason we all act in a certain way as Christians is because we're following Jesus. And because Jesus says, well, actually, God's kingdom is coming. And so we need to act in a certain way because of that. Because in our lives, on earth, as it is in heaven, God's name must be hallowed. God's kingdom must come. God's will must be done. On earth, as it is in heaven. All of human existence is being born on the same swell, which means your existence, your life, your story is all about surfing God's kingdom coming. You can surf it or you can be dumped by it, but that's the choice. God's kingdom is coming. That's the dynamic of his plan of making the world and redeeming the world and recreating our world. Now that's hard for me to pray. Because what I would love to pray is may my name be great and may my kingdom come in my little victories. And in my struggles, I want my will to be done. Do you feel that sting? That's pride. And that's where our sin starts, isn't it? Because what I would love is for the universe to revolve around me. Now that's a problem for you guys because you live in the universe and I want it to revolve around me. But it's a problem for me too, because Jesus says, no, the wave's going in a different direction, Alan. The universe revolves around God, and you either get in tune with that, you either surf on that wave, or you get dumped. Jesus is the name above every name. Jesus is the name in which there is salvation. Jesus is the victorious King who is going to hand over rule to his Father on that last day when every enemy is put beneath his feet. Amen. I can be his defeated enemy, or I can be his victorious subject. But those are the only two choices, because his enemies will not be victorious. But the great news of the gospel is that his servants will not be defeated. Jesus says, you should pray to the Father in heaven. Now finally, God is a Father who knows what we need. Jesus asks for four things. Give, forgive, and lead not, but deliver. Jesus asks for our daily bread. Now, daily bread is the stuff we need every day to live. It's a basic need. It's not just talking about bread. It's talking about food, and I think by extension our other needs. But it's talking about bread, not cake. Yeah? Food we need, not fun stuff that we want. And so Jesus says, Lord, please give us, Father, give us our daily bread. He doesn't say, go out and work for your daily bread, and once you've done everything you can, then go to God and ask for it. Say, look, I think I deserve this. He says, the things you need come from God. Ask him for them. And I think that colours the way that we look at the other things that Jesus asks for. They are basic needs. You and I need forgiveness. We need our sins dealt with the same way that we need our hunger dealt with. We need to ask God to forgive us. You and I need to be not led into temptation. You and I need to be delivered from evil. Especially if we've been listening to Jesus as he's been turning the kingdom upside down and saying, don't resist the evil one, because as someone standing in front of you is sinning against you, you're going to be provoked to sin against them in retaliation. So he says, don't resist, turn the other cheek, love your enemies, pray for them. And pray for yourself that you'll be delivered, because, gee, you're going to need it if you're not delivering yourself. And he says, lead us not into temptation. Now, I don't think he can mean, well, may temptations never come. Because elsewhere he says to his disciples, temptations will come, like they're the weather. Like they will come. You can't ask them to not come. But then he also says, woe to the person through whom temptation comes. So temptation is bad. It's not something to be turning into, navigating through the thickest, deepest part of the swamp. Yes, let's go finding some temptation. He says, no, we want to pray, Lord, please lead us not into the temptation, but lead us so that the temptation passes us by. And so we are saved, so we are delivered. This is a humble prayer. It's a prayer of need and brokenness and weakness. We need to be delivered. We need to be forgiven. We need the things that sustain us each day. And Jesus says, depend on God to provide for you. The more you become aware of your need, turn to God. Not because you've earned it, not because you can remember the past word, but because he's our Father in heaven, who in his own grace and his own goodness longs to provide what you need. Now, one last word. God wants to forgive us. And Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. So Jesus puts a performance clause in what up until now felt like an unconditional contract. And then if you feel uncomfortable about that, well, he doubles up. He says, well, I'll finish with a big slap around the chops. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins. Now, forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is a process that we need to go through. Forgiveness doesn't come straight away. Forgiveness is about you giving up your right to hurt someone back forgiveness is not actually about you just exposing yourself to be hurt all over again. So don't hear me say you've just got to go running around forgiving everyone unconditionally. No, no, no. There's a matter of repentance. There's a matter of reconciliation. There's a whole bunch of stuff around forgiveness. It's a big issue that we're not going to open up right now. But Jesus says, if you want forgiveness, if you need to be set free from your sins, what does that say about everybody else? And if you're going to be set free from your sins, if every day God's going to set you free, why are you going to hold on to the sins of other people? Jesus says, forgive as you've been forgiven. And I think, even with all the caveats, I think I'm not sure that I've got what I need to forgive. I don't know that I can do it. Well, if it is a basic need, you need to forgive people, who knows that you need that? Who should you ask for the things that you need to be able to forgive? For that strength and that will? Jesus says, when you pray, talk to God. Talk to God as your Father who listens and loves you. Talk to God who is your Father in heaven that the whole universe revolves around. And talk to God who knows what you need before you ask him. Amen.